Good morning again. Last week we were looking at I started a series called Expect the Unexpected, right? And God is always wanting to do unexpected things in our life. In the season of Advent, like people were almost like 450 years, God was silent. They were not hearing anything from God. And God was, you know, working things behind. And unexpected things were happening in their lives. Last week, we were looking at this particular character called Joseph, right? And what we learned from him, right? Every time you look at scriptures about Joseph, you know, the earthly father of Jesus Christ, you realize he was a man who was always listening, right? You don't see anything much about him. We do not know, in terms of what are the things that he was doing apart from his job. We don't have much details about him, but one of the interesting character that we see about Joseph was he was a person who always listens to God, right? He was just ready, Lord, anytime, like whenever you say, I'm there to follow. And I think that's one of the reasons I think God was, you know, was very particular in choosing Joseph to be the earthly father, because he was not questioning God in anything, right? He was just ready to go. Lord, you speak. It might be at night, it might be a daytime. I'm just willing to listen. Today, I thought it would be, you know, interesting for us to look at the wise men, right, and to learn some things from them. It's about worship. Are you worshiping God? Last week, we were asking the questions, right? Are we listening? And today, you know, are we really worshiping God? Let's take a moment to pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. We pray, God, as we spend some time looking at your word, we just pray, God, that your Spirit will continue to speak to our hearts and minds, O Father. Because we believe your word is real and it transforms our life, Father. Speak, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, whenever you ask someone about the spirit of Christmas, right, when you ask people about Christmas and their tradition, many times you hear the word celebration. It's a time people want to celebrate because it's a wonderful time. You know, it's a time that you really spend together as a family. It's a family time, right? It's a time that you want to invite your friends. Those things are wonderful. And you know, Christmas is also a time that you want to have turkey, right? I do not know in terms of numbers in Canada, but in the U.S., almost every year during the time of Christmas, 23 million turkeys have been cooked. Or killed and cooked, right? 23 million turkeys. By the way, I love turkeys too, you know. And so it's a time of celebration, you know. That's many times we think it's not wrong. But when you look at the Word of God very carefully, what is Christmas or what is the time of Advent? It's a time of worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, right? When you look at the Christmas narrative, right, the birth of Jesus, you'll see, you know, worship that was taking place. The shepherds were worshiping when they heard the good news, right? The angel of the Lord came and said, fear not. And they went to see the baby was born and they worshiped. And Simeon, the last Sunday, we were also looking at that particular character. He saw the baby child, Jesus, in the temple. He worshiped God and said, Lord, I've seen. And Anna, the prophetess, who was a widow, also was just worshiping God. Mary's song is also very familiar to us. She was also worshiping. People were always worshiping God because, you know, God had been so wonderful in their life. So the spirit of Christmas is, I believe it's, one of the things is worshiping God. And how do I worship today? Today we came here, we have a good one, large worship team, right? How do I worship today? Am I really worshiping God? Am I really worshiping this wonderful Savior, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace? Or am I just here because, you know, I have to be here. I'm a member of the church. I'm expected to be here, right? Am I preaching because I got a job and that's what I have to do? Or am I just worshiping because I've been here and I have to come and to worship? But when you look at, you know, the story in this passage, it's very interesting. Let's look at the passage together. Right? Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod. You know, just to give you some kind of heads up, you know, the things Herod was a bad guy, right? And he was so bad that he killed his wife and also his three sons. Caesar says, it's better to be the pigs of Herod than to be the sons of Herod. Because Herod was a very cruel man, even though he was a builder, right? Even though he was a great warrior, and because he was made the king of the Jews, though he was not a Jew, he had the blood of the Edomites with him. Even though he was not a real Jew, but he was made the king of the Jews, right? And what was happening? So they come to this, you know, during the time of Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. So these people, you know, sometimes we call them wise men, or we say the three kings and all that, whatever it is, right? But in those days, you know, just to give you, you know, in terms of we need to know things, they were people who were always looking for kings. In other words, they were just looking at the stars, reading at the stars, and they know, yes, a king is born. You know, in very typical churches, we always see three kings coming, right, with three gifts. But in those days, it was more than that. When a wise man or a magi comes, right, they will have at least 15 to 20 of them coming together with them. Can you imagine? It is a large group of people coming, right? And in the Western church, because based on the text, they say there were three wise men who came. But in the Eastern church, right, they always believe it's 12 wise men who were there, right? The Western church says because of the three gifts, so it should be three wise men. But in the Eastern church, it's 12. Just to give you some kind of background, so you, as you read, you will know. No, it's an interesting passage that we are dealing with. So they were not ordinary people, right? People knew that they are the ones who are like the prophets too. They know. They look at the stars. They read, right? They look at scriptures and all that, and they know someone is born. A great king is born today. And that's how they come. And so what was happening in this particular passage in verse 3, realize, and they come and they ask, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? By the way, you know, many times we think they went to Herod and asked him. Actually, it's not. If you look at the passage very carefully, they did not come to King Herod, right? They came and they were asking around because I think they were wise men. They will not go, they are not going to ask King Herod because King Herod is a cruel guy, right? He killed his own sons, his wife, his brother-in-law, right? It's better to be the pigs of Herod than to be the sons. So they did not ask. They were just asking people around. And Herod came to know about it. And continued, right, in verse 3. They said, you know, we have seen the star when it rose and we came to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. Yes, he will definitely be disturbed because he is not a Jew, but he was known as the king of the Jews because of what he did for the Jews. And so he was afraid. There was insecurity in him that I'm going to lose my power, my position, right? And so it goes on. And so together with him was the entire Jerusalem also troubled, right? Even the king is troubled. Others are also fearful because they can become victims, right? If the king is upset, you know, they can be easily be victims. And if you realize, in the same picture is also seen during the time of Moses, right? Pharaoh was also likewise. In verse 4, it says, and he gathered together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law. He asked them where the Messiah was to be born, in Bethlehem, in Judea. They replied, for this is what the prophet has written, right? Can you imagine they say the Magi were Gentiles. They knew the scriptures well. In other words, they knew that someone great is born. And we want to go, right, and to see them. Where else these people were the chief priests, they were teachers of the law. They knew scriptures pretty well. They were near but far away from the Lord Jesus Christ, right? They knew very well in the scriptures the Savior, the Messiah will be born. But that did not make any difference in their life, my friend. So when Matthew writes this, you know, Matthew is trying to say, tell us, teach us, that even the Gentiles will seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? It's not only the Jews alone, but even the Gentiles from far away will come to seek the Lord. And we realize, you know, Herod is seen as the king of the Jews, but then towards the end of Matthew, you will see that Jesus is the king of the Jews, right? Just to give you some kind of Bible study here. Let's move on. And then in verse 6, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the stars happened. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search, right, carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him. I like the next verse. You know, it says, after they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they have seen, when it rose, went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Can you imagine? The star was leading. It's a very supernatural thing that was happening, right? And they were just being led by the star. And I like this particular word. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed, right? When we read a particular passage, we say, when they saw the child, they were overjoyed. In the Greek text, it's an interesting word. No, in English, we use the word, right? We say better, you know, we said, you know, good, better, and best. That's the way we qualify things. But in the Greek, it's not like that. When they say joy, means it's top of the joys. It's overjoy, right? You can't explain that joy. That's the way it's seen in the Greek text. It's not just, I'm happy, I'm joyful. The way it's explained is, you know, you can't get that kind of joy. And that's the way it is expressed in the Greek text. So when they saw the star, they were full of joy. I do not know where they got that joy. That was the greatest joy ever they have found, my friend. When they saw the star, they knew they were going to see the Messiah. Can you see the excitement there? By just looking at the star, they were excited. They were so joyful. Joyful. And when I read this particular passage, I was telling myself and I was just praying, Lord, you know, what a joy you brought into my life. Because I know my life, how I led my life. You know, when I read this passage, I realize today I can live in joy, not because of the things that I have, my friend. They can be supplements, but Jesus is the true joy. And that brought joy to them. They were overjoyed, right? It was mega joy kind of a thing. I do not know how to explain that particular word. That was the way they felt. It was amazing, my friend. It was amazing. Back to our topic, right? It's about worship. I think one of the first things we need to realize, I think, in terms of worship, I think worship comes only first and foremost, whether I know this Savior. Do I just know Him? Hit knowledge. Have I experienced Christ? Do I have the joy that only Christ can give in my life? Or is it, you know, I have Jesus, I'm a Christian, right? It doesn't make much difference in my life. But, you know, when we come to worship, do I have that joy that only Jesus gives? It's because He is in my life. And secondly, when I look at this particular passage, I realize what was happening. If you do read the passage, you know, firstly, I think they were aware of God's working. Because in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, if you realize what's happening in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, you know, they were asking this particular question, right? They said, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We have seen His star when it rose, and we have come to worship Him. In other words, they have been just looking for a Messiah. They have been reading the scriptures. They were trying to understand. They were always were on the lookout for something, for a Messiah or a prophet or a king to be born. And that's why, you know, when I look at it, I was just trying to put myself in that particular situation. In other words, they were just not just looking or gazing at the stars, right? They knew that God was working somewhere. God is working. And they saw, right? And they knew that, you know, I want to come and worship God because I know this God is working. He's alive. He's been born. He has arrived into this world, right? We want to seek Him. We want to worship Him, my friend. I think, firstly and foremost, I think worship takes place when you and I become, you know, aware of God's working. That God is actually working. You know, people might think, you know, the 450 years, God was silent. I don't think so, my friend. Right? We don't see anything that is written about the silent years of 450 years. But I believe God was working. God was always, and these men were just looking out. And they were aware, you know, God is working. He has said, according to the prophet Daniel, I believe they have read the prophecies of Daniel, right? And then they see now that God is working, and He's alive, and He's true to His promises. So worship starts when a person is aware that God has been working in my life throughout this week. Right, worship is not contained in this time where 1 hour and 15 minutes we come and we worship, we are gone. That's part of worship, my friend. But worship is being conscious that God is working in my life. Each and every moment of my life. Even in my workplace, God is working. Right? God is helping me. God is dealing things in my life. Yes, there would be moments you would feel, you know, as if God is not working, but God is working, my friend. Look at the life of Joseph. It's a great example, right? Righteous man, good man, but he was sent to the prison. He was doing all the right things, but he was sent to the prison. But you know, God was preparing people. God was just preparing people to release him out of the prison. And what are the words that he told his brothers, right? You meant bad, but God meant it good. I don't believe that God has forgotten Joseph, right? Joseph was sincere. He was doing things what God has been asking him to do. But what was happening? He might have thought, you know, God has forgotten me. And I don't think so. But God was working things from the behind, my friend. When you come to worship God, have you ever asked yourself, you know, or even have you reflected on this, you know, God has been working in my life, in my workplace. Sometimes we use the word coincidence, right? Because of coincidence, this happened. But let me tell you, my friend, it is God has been working in each and every moment of our life. And so when I come to worship, I'm coming with that kind, and the wise men were coming, not because I just saw, but they have been studying, and they know God has been working, and they come because, you know, I want to worship this God who's been working. And I just want to bow down and just worship Him. My friends, I think God is working in our lives. Are you aware of that? Each and every moment. Even today, you are alive because God is working. You might think God is so silent. But let me tell you, God is working out things. God is working out things in our life. I remember, you know, just to tell you, many years ago when I was in India doing some studies, I was a student. And my organization was supposed to send me my money, you know, they did not send me. And so, it was during the time of Christmas. It was a difficult time for me because I didn't have money, right? Because I was not married at that point of time. I was just dependent on in money to come from Singapore. My organization forgot to send me because they were occupied with probably Advent celebrations and all that. I still remember very vividly, I was praying in my room. I said, Lord, I do not know what to do. I have to pay my a fee for my food. If not, they won't serve me food. I was just praying. And I skipped my meal that day because I do not know how to go because I don't have any money. It was so interesting, you know. I still remember that happened many years ago in my life. I had a knock at my door and someone said, you know, some organization have sent a money order for you. And it was sent by some kids in this particular church. I've never preached in that particular church at all. And these kids, what they did during the time of Christmas, right, so season of Advent, they started collecting money. And they didn't know whom to send, and they realized that I was in India. They came to know from someone, and so they sent. And that money made a lot of difference. Let me tell you, that 1 week I was actually praying hard. You know, I do not know what to do, right? I can't ask my friends because they were also in a similar situation. But God was working out things wonderfully and beautifully. By the way, I should say, when I went back to Singapore, after some years, I became the pastor of the church, right? And had an opportunity to meet the kids who actually helped me when I was in. And so I know from that particular situation, God is actually working things out. He's doing things in a way you and I don't understand. And, you know, and when we come to God and say, Lord, I know you're working, and I want to worship you. You might be silent, but I still want to worship you. You might be very active in my life. I still want to worship you, Lord. You're very obvious in my life. I want to worship you. You know, Lord, whether you are quiet in my life, things are not so good in my life, but I know that you are doing things in my life. And that was what was that was the response of the wise men. They came because they knew that God was working. Secondly, when I look at the passage, I realize they were bringing gifts to God, right? And what kind of gifts, right? They were bringing meaningful gifts to Jesus Christ. What do you do when a child is born? Jesus, at this point of time, was a toddler, around 2 years old, right? You'll buy, what do you buy for a two-year-old kid? Maybe some games, right? Some toys, right? Maybe some drone. You might buy some things like that, you know, clothing and all that. But look at the, you know, look at the kind of gifts they brought. Sometimes when you look at the gifts, we might think, you know, yes, we have heard all these sermons. Yes, I know. But are they practical gifts? Can a child use the gold or myrrh? Myrrh was used for those, you know, to embalm the body and all that. You know, can you imagine? Wise men, magi, knowledgeable people, they should know what to give to the child. Instead of bringing things the child will enjoy, this young toddler will enjoy, they were bringing things. It doesn't make meaning at all, my friend. They were bringing things of that nature. But what was happening? You know, it was more than that, right? Let's look at the gifts they were bringing, and then we realize, you know, what God was trying to do and to work in their lives, right? Firstly, when I look at it, how did they bring their gifts? In the particular verse, you realize, you know, they came, right? They came, they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Probably, I think I missed one of my slides, you know. When they came, you realize they came, they bowed down, right? They bowed down, they opened, and they gave Jesus everything. You know, firstly, they bow down, right? Very interesting word, right? When they bow down, you know, it shows a lot of reverence for them. Can you imagine bowing down to a child, a baby, and to a mother, a lady? In those culture, they will never do that, right? The word here, it is, you just come bowing down, you kiss, you adore. It was a posture of a servant to the king. These guys were learned guys, wise men, right? They were the king makers. Can you imagine just coming down to this poor city called Bethlehem and coming and just giving themselves and say, Lord, we want to worship you. And that's what we need. Such a reverence, because I am in the presence of God. You know, the best gift anyone can bring to God is not our tithes alone, my friend. It's our heart. I think when they bow down, it told me a lot about their heart. They came because they felt, you know, I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to bow down and say, Lord, I recognize you. You might be a child, but I recognize you. You're my Lord and my Savior, and I've come all the way, right, just to bow down and to worship you. I've took a long journey couple of months, you know, I've took because I just want to bow down. I'm not getting anything in return. It does not say that Mary gave them a token by saying, thank you for coming. Nothing of that sort. I come because I want to give my heart to Jesus Christ. That's the best gift you can ever give, my friend. By saying, Lord, I give my heart to you. I love you. And telling him, I loving you in God's presence. It's the wonderful gift, my friend. It's not buying Jesus. It's giving our lives to Jesus. They gave, they bowed down to this and they worshipped him. Right? And what did they do? They gave gifts. They presented gifts. I'm not going to go into details of the gift, but you know, I think the gold represents... It's meant for the king. It's the king of the metals and all that. So it talks about the majesty of God. And then frankincense was, you know, in those days used by the priests. What they do, you know, they put live coals and they put the incense. The aroma becomes a pleasing sight in the sight of God. And then the myrrh is used to embalm, you know, the body in those days. If you realize Jesus was, you know, they were using that for Jesus. You know, I'm not going to go in details, but I was asking myself, you know, why all these gifts, right? Why all these gifts? I don't think that Jesus is going to wear gold. He's not ready for myrrh. What is he going to do with frankincense, right? I was just wondering and asking, they should have actually brought in a better practical gifts a child will enjoy, right, or play or use. They have come and just given him. But I believe, my friend, I think they were bringing meaningful gifts because if you realize what was happening, look at it for a moment. The next day, or that particular time, Joseph and Mary have been asked to leave that place because Herod is just coming after kids. He wanted to kill every child who's 2 years old or under. Can you imagine? You need to pack your families. You need to run. You need money to, you know, to move your things. You need to find a place to stay. You know, Joseph is not a rich man. He's just staying in an ordinary place. He needed finances. He needs help. You know, when you look at the thing, you might think, you know, why these gifts? But I believe all these gifts were meaningful, were helpful for them to make the journey. If you realize, they were just running like refugees from this place. They were running to another place, from there to here. You know, they needed funds. Because every time Joseph goes there, he needs to establish himself. He needs money. He needs help. And so what's happening? The Magi gives, the wise man gives, doesn't make sense at that time. But God was using it to bless Mary and Joseph in their journey. You know, my friend, sometimes you might think, you know, my giving to the church, you know, let me tell you, it goes a lot of miles. Right? Our giving, you know, we might say, you know, I'm giving, you know, what is it going to do? It is helping a lot of families. You know, like when you gave the food for the food drive, it is helping someone who is in need. Who is in need. I remember some years ago, I met a social worker who works in Toronto. She came to my office, you know, and together with a pastor, we were discussing. And she said, I became a Christian, you know why? She said, because there was a church in my neighborhood, you know, during the time of Christmas and Easter, you know, they bring food to us. And that's the only time, you know, I saw Christians showing love to us. They will invite us for VBS and all that. And that made me to realize that, you know, Jesus is true. So my friends, I think our giving, you know, makes a lot of difference. The way you give your money, let me tell you, it is blessing so many people in the church. The missionaries that we support, you know, the ministries that we do, let me tell you, it blesses people. You might think, for example, you know, we are decorating this place, you know, Pastor, you know, I just did it. But when people come, it makes a difference. It makes us, brings a smile in their life. Right? Our time given to God meaningfully brings joy. Our time given to, our wealth given to God wholeheartedly, let me tell you, it brings joy. It blesses so many people, my friend. So are we giving meaningful gifts? They gave gifts not to a baby boy, but to a king. They saw him as a king. Right? Is my giving, do I give because I see him as my king? Do I see him that my, and I give him because I see him as my savior? How do I see Jesus? They could have brought some other toys. They brought gold because they saw him as the king. They saw him as the priest. They saw him as, you know, God is going to die for us. Today when I give my time, do I see him as my king? Right? When I give my gifts to God, do I see him as my king? How do I see? How do I get see my gifts? Are they meaningful to God? You know, when you look at scriptures, I think all of us know about the story of Abel and Cain. Both of them gave, right? Both of them gave. But God accepted the offerings of Abel. You know why? Because his heart was there. His heart was in the giving, my friend. So when I give, always realize, you know, yes, it, when my heart is there, it might be the smallest gift, but it makes a difference in the lives of people. It blesses people. And let me finish with this lastly. What does worship does? True worship, right? When in worship we always give ourselves, it becomes very meaningful. Lastly, worship changes things, right? Yes, worship changes everything when I look at this particular passage. What was happening in this, in verse 13? If you read verse 13, it says, when they, on coming to the house, they saw the child, right, the mother Mary, they bowed down, they opened their treasures. And then in verse 12, it says, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, what was happening? They returned to their country by another route. They returned to their country by another route. That was the first thing that was happening to them, right? Worship changes their life. If you go to Jerusalem, the temple, it's very interesting. You know, to a Jew, when a Jew reads this, you know, for them it's a familiar thing, because in the Jew culture, you know, when you go to the temple to worship, when you enter and you don't exit by the same route, you go on a different route altogether. You come in this way and you go out that way. And so when a Jew reads this, he knows, yes, you know. And so here, but it's a different meaning altogether. You know, they came, they worshipped God, but then what was happening? They took another route, right? They wanted to listen to the voice of God. They were not afraid of Herod at all. There was nothing for them to fear, but they wanted to fear God. What was happening? They took a different route altogether. You know, when a person really worships God, there is always a change in his life, my friend. Realize, Herod told them very clearly, you need to come back, right? I need to know. But they were obedient to God, because worship changes you and I. Worship changes my thinking. Worship changes me totally. And I think that's why, you know, we need to come to worship. And I would encourage you to come to worship promptly, because when worship team does, not because we need to have a crowd, because when we worship God, it changes your life, my friend. Sadly, right, whenever we start worship, we have less than 10 people, am I right, in the service? Amen? Yeah? Don't say amen to me. Right? Am I right? Hello? Yes. If you believe worship changes my life, let me encourage you. Come on time. Worship together as a family, as a body of Christ. Let me tell you, when you sing the song, when we pray, when you're together, the Spirit of God moves so powerfully, my friend. And God was using that worship, right? They worshiped him and they went differently. Their lives were totally different. They did not bring back any tokens because they worshiped. They just went back on a different life. That's the best token you can ever get, my friend. They went back differently. Secondly, I always believe, you know, when I was looking at the particular passage, I was trying to put myself in. I believe it also changed lives, right? Look at Mary and Joseph. Probably they might be looking at it. Maybe they were not, they were just wondering, you know, why these guys gave all these gifts, right? But then what was happening? The next day they knew they have to run. They needed help. They needed money. They needed resources. And so what's happening? Because people were worshiping, what was happening? You know, it was making a difference in the lives of people. Let me tell you, my friend, when you come and worship God, not only our lives have been changed, but that is also impacting other people's life. In other words, God is working, as I said, you know, God will work in the lives of people. And so when we worship, you know, it is impacting others. It's helping people. It's helping people, you know, to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when I worship, my life has been transformed. When I go out, you know, I'm beginning to transform lives. And worship transforms life. Not only us, but people around us also, my friend. Are we worshiping God today? When you come here, are you aware that God has been working in your life throughout this week? Have you been sensitive that, you know, God has been working in my life? Or do you see just as another day, a routine thing that happens in my life? Or do I see it as a coincidence? Let me tell you, my friend, God is working in our lives. So when I come, I need to come with that conscious mind. Lord, I thank you because you've been working in my life. Yes, Lord, there are moments I know that you're working. There are moments I know that I don't see you, but I know you're still working. And I'm conscious of that. Are you conscious that God is working throughout your week, my friend? When I come to God, do I come with meaningful gifts? The best gift is your heart, my friend. They bow down, right, to a child, and they give gifts. Whatever you do in the church, whatever you give to the church, right, let me tell you, if your heart is in, God uses this mightily, my friend. You might not know. You might be the smallest gift that you might think that I give to God, but that makes a lot of difference. It made a lot of difference in the life of people. Lastly, worship changes our lives. They went on a different route. They could have said, you know, I need to obey Herod. If not, I can't come back to this place again. But they said, no. I just listen to God because He is my authority. It changes us. It changes lives, my friend. Are we worshiping God today? Let's pray. In a few moments, we are going to come together as a church to partake the Holy Sacrament or the Holy Communion. When you come, I want you to ask this question. Am I conscious that God has been working in my life? That I come with that kind? Lord, I've seen you, Lord, in my workplace, in my campus, in my personal life. And I come. Just acknowledging that you are my Lord. Or you might say, God has been so silent in my life, I have not heard him. But let me comfort you with these words, my friend. The Lord is doing things that you and I don't understand. At the right time, God reveals those things. When you come, the communion, what are you bringing? You know, the best gift that you can ever give is yourself. I do not want this communion to be another ritual, my friend. They came, they gave their hearts. They were not giving to a baby, they were giving to a king. It was meaningful gifts they gave to God. How are we spending our time for God today? Our wealth? After taking this communion, can we say, Lord, when I take and I leave, it's going to change me totally. This is another, it's not another meal, my friend, but when we come, this mystery involved, the Lord changes our life. Lord, when I leave this place, I want to leave just listening to the prompting of the Spirit. Because my, I know, Lord, when I truly worship you, through me, O God, you're going to change lives. We thank you, Lord, for your love. In Jesus' name we pray.